A walk to the midnight library. You've gotten in your car and driven to the edge of the village. The main road has narrowed. Forests, pasture land, and old farms dot the dimming distance. Whatever life has had to offer you, whatever reality has forced you to of late, you're looking for something different. A mood, a setting, the warmth and chill of beings of a different nature. You turn onto a nameless, lonely old road, marked only by a small wooden sign that illuminates when your headlights catch it. Its deeply carved script reads, "This way to the Midnight Library." The damp gravel road rolls out before you as you drive for a while, not aware of your thoughts. Tall, patient pines stand like soldiers guarding the way. The formation of pines gives way to a clearing, an open rectangle of low brambles and pale weeds. Even if there weren't already several cars parked here, you would know instinctively to stop. You pull into a patch alongside a rusty Chevy, with briars now reaching across its hood and winding their way around its bent aerial antenna. The windows are blurred with a blue, milky film. All four tires are flat. You cut your engine and relax behind the wheel for a moment, trying to push the question of what you're even doing here from your thoughts. Two figures in dull coats can be seen walking into a random space at the brink of the gray-green woods. You stare, blink with slow resolution, and open your door. A rush of steamy twilight air engulfs you before you step from the vehicle. You breathe in sugar pine, bellwort, and wild ginger, and head towards the woods. Unsure if you've chosen the same entrance as the featureless fellows, you let the cool grove draw you inside. A group of crows take flight as you walk, their complaining caws echo and then echo again, as to remind you twice that you've disturbed them. You make believe the way ahead is fitted with an obvious path. A soft, glowing ribbon of fog threads its way around, hugging the trunks of the leaf trees and sinking into the beds of red ferns. You pause to check if you've heard a human voice. Probably not. You move along, listening to the sound of your footsteps as the sprawling wood closes in behind you. In the distance off to your right, your eyes catch sight of a long corridor of tall oaks with a narrow, well-trodden trail between them, their lower branches creating a perfect tunnel that seems almost infinite. Each silver tree trunk that lines the sides of the way has a soft highlight, the stripes shrinking away far off. Songbirds can be heard in the pretty aisle. Stopping to stare at the enchanting wooded hallway, you feel as though that's the most sensible way to go. It's somehow brighter and inviting. A trickle of cold sweat runs down the base of your neck, and you walk past the alluring passageway. A rustling in the treetops overhead refocuses the unchecked montage of your thoughts. You're fleetingly aware that you were imagining a ring of women, all in black, flashes of fire, blue sweet smoke, strange engravings on mossy pillars, and the sound of running. You shake the dreamlike thoughts from your head as you peer up into the trees that are now completely still. Approaching footfalls have startled you. Your eyes widen and dart to their perceived direction. In a dense growth of spindly pines, you can see them. Women walking three abreast, with another three directly behind them. Some are in long skirts, the others in old-style dungarees. They're cheerfully chatting and laughing. They fall silent and halt in unison when they see you. Each carries a shovel on her shoulder. They remain motionless until you are out of sight. You feel they've noticed your every dimension. The level forest floor gradually changes ever so slightly to an incline, and the fading lavender light of the day is visible through the thick trees on the crest ahead of you. You're uncertain how long you've been walking. Chirping crickets and low croaking frogs now accompany you. A dampening smell makes its way into the air around you. It's fresh, earthy, then astringent. As you reach the trees on the risen hill, you see they give way to the source of the scent. Directly before you, in the loose shape of a ragged crescent moon, lies an enormous swamp. Over half of its calm surface is covered with luminescent green scum. A somber yellow haze rises from the swamp, quietly lighting the encircling land. Flitting bats fly into the haze, snapping glistening insects from their flights. This swamp, it's unlike any you can recall ever seeing before. It's somehow solemnly dead, and strangely alive. Poking up from the flat green sheet of scum, thin barkless gray trees reach through the pale vapor for the uncaring sky. Their dwindling branches stretched outright like the fingers of an emaciated corpse. Each long dead tree holds aloft a large bedraggled nest. A slight breeze gracefully shifts all of the nest's straggling vines and weeds in harmony. The clear portion of the swamp shines like a black mirror. You find yourself inexplicably drawn to it. You survey the perimeter to find what you hope is a safe and sturdy spot for you to venture onto, just to get a little closer. Testing each step as you go, you timidly stand on a tuft of ground with straw-colored grass under your feet. You lean out over the edge of the dark water to look closer. What seems like your reflection can almost be seen, but the yellow haze is thickening. So you drop down onto one knee and place your hands on the crispy grass to support yourself as you lean over the inky water. There you see your face perfectly on the glass-like surface, but your reflection has no eyes. You spring up and stumble back away from the edge of the swamp, your heart thumping in your throat. You try to remember why you're even here in this godforsaken place, and you quicken your steps as you dart back into the body of the dreary woods. You think of running, but the way is dim and thick with trees. Your heart pounds and your chest heaves as you move in an unknown direction. Suddenly, as if on cue, thousands upon thousands of fireflies rise into twinkling existence all around you. The terrifying landscape is transformed into a glittering fairyland of magical safety. You laugh with relief, and a calm washes over you, and you spin around like a child in awe of the bewitching little bugs. You close your eyes for a moment and forgive yourself for being so silly. When you open your eyes, the largest wolf you have ever seen is standing before you. He's as tall or taller than you are. He is resplendent. His iridescent fur of gold, black, auburn, and silver shimmers in the mist. The catchlights in his masterful eyes brighten as he walks toward you. A sharp pain in your chest causes you to drop to your knees before him. The oddest thought comes to you as you look up at his powerful face. This would be a fine way to die. But you shake with a depth of fear like you never have before when he places his mighty snout near your ear and draws in the smell of your throat. The hot moisture of his exhale condenses on your skin. You hear yourself saying something to him, murmuring something about loneliness and books. Another heated breath is delivered to you from him. This one is a snort of derision that arrives in your face as he recedes. You notice around his neck is a gleaming pendant of labradorite. It flashes aqua, gold, and violet, and he's gone. You fall forward with your face in your hands, ignoring the pang of disappointment that he chose not to tear your flesh to rags and eat you, and focus instead on your relief as you try to rise steadily to your feet. A large, solitary, glowing moth lifts out of the bed of red ferns in front of you. It hovers patiently in the warm air until you take a few steps. It flaps its graceful wings and moves a little ways on, and waits for you again. Having lost all sense of time and direction, you follow the glowing creature, believing some ethereal form of fate has sent it to guide you. Perhaps it has. The full moon now rises in the distance, and you pass a brown stone structure, a vine-covered cottage with a thatched roof. Nearly every wavy glass window flickers with candlelight, and the chimney puffs out meat-scented smoke. You briefly think of knocking on the heavy wooden door to ask for directions, but your inner voice vetoes the thought simultaneously, and you follow the moth. Up ahead, you can tell your dithering guide has come to rest on something as she waits for you. But it couldn't be what it appears to be. It is. It's a tombstone. She crawls down into the strangely etched symbols and sips a little drink from the one resembling a pitchfork. Then she drifts on ahead of you. More tombstones come into view as you walk, then many more. Some are like crooked crosses, some are pillars. All of them look ancient. None of the engravings can be read. The smell of freshly dug graves is all around you, but you don't see them. Your fluttering escort joins her companion on the petal of a night-blooming orchid. You walk out of the wooded graveyard and into an open field. On a slight mound of acreage surrounded by a soaring wrought iron fence is your destination. It has to be. It looks like it's part of the natural lay of the land. It's majestic, it's elegant, it's forbidden, and completely irresistible. You stand still, beholding the sight that is the Midnight Library. The fullest pearl moon shines lovingly down upon the massive stonework mansion. It has turrets, chimneys, and even a small bell tower atop its rambling heights. It has facets, walkways, and balconies that decorate its upper floors. It has a stone block veranda with flying arches that present its grand staircase that leads to its impossibly tall wooden doors, beset with iron batwing hinges. It has a sign that reads, "Congratulations and welcome." The dagger-topped gate is open but eerily swings closed the moment you pass through it. A feeling of lightness and hope fills you as you climb the sturdy staircase. The coolness of the stone flows into your shoes and soothes your tired feet. When you reach the veranda, several others are standing there waiting. They make polite eye contact with you. Their expressions all have the same stupor and relief that you know your face shows as well. You think you recognize the dull coat of one of the fellows that entered into the woods before you. He's arrived alone. No one speaks, and all eyes are pinned to the giant wooden door. A lone hand gathers the courage to grasp the forged door knocker in the shape of a horned demon, letting the heavy ring thud twice upon the door. "Once more," says a quiet voice in the group. The lone hand returns to obey the order. A succession of rising lights can be seen appearing in every window along the expanse of the veranda. Several antiquated lanterns begin to glow high over the heads of the standing group. Some smile. Some notice the skull perched on a corner ledge with bird nesting spilling from its eye and nasal cavities. A commotion of activity swells from the walls of the manor. Bells ring, voices shout, and the excited cries of wolf pups can be heard. Magical music drifts towards you as the immense door creaks open, and the most devastatingly handsome man greets you. "Welcome to the Midnight Library. I'm Mr. Darling," he croons, as he warmly invites you to step across the wide threshold. As he doffs his top hat and bows at the waist to implore you to follow closely behind him, a pendant of blazing labradorite slides out of the gap between the buttons of his fine dress shirt and then retreats when he stands erect. He winks at you, and your heart skips a beat. Midway down the long hallway behind him, you see a woman in a black Victorian silken dress float directly across the hallway. She emits grace and terror. Two wolf pups arrive in a ruckus and chase along behind her. Mr. Darling gestures for you to keep near to him and warns you not to wander beyond the cordoned-off areas of the library. You follow dutifully, but try to peer into the alcoves and passageways as you walk. Most of them are too dark to see much of anything, but you imagine you've seen the tail of a colossal snake disappear around the corner of a doorway. You dismiss the idea from your thoughts, and your group passes a stylish stairwell covered in exotic crimson carpeting. A scrollwork sign reads "The Red Room" with an arrow pointing up the stairs. Two sets of velvet burgundy ropes guard the staircase. You can just make out the figure of a maid on the landing above, as she straightens the frame of a sizable oil painting. Darling snaps his fingers, and she dashes up the stairs. He leads your group past several pairs of closed black doors with bright brass door handles, and seems to abruptly stop before a random pair. He lifts his fine jawline, inhales, and announces, "We have now reached the reading room." He gently grasps the shiny handles, effortlessly parts the dark doors, and stands to one side. He declares that it is safe for you to enter. You quietly pass in front of him and try to take in all that your eyes can see. The expansive mahogany-paneled room is lined with shelves and more shelves of lushly carved gleaming bookcases, with still more only accessible by tall wooden ladders on wheels. Each bookcase is neatly filled with rich leather-bound books with gold embossed lettering and flourishes. The very highest books are chained to their shelves, and some are held inside locked gilded cages. Dozens of bright brass light fixtures in the shape of delicate hands bearing lanterns extend out from the framed bookshelves and bathe the room in a warm golden glow. You inhale the scent of roses, firewood, wolf fur, and tea. Beneath your feet, a succession of large Persian carpets lie, each a woven tapestry of strange animals, plants, and geometric designs. Two immense stone fireplaces fill gaps in the bookshelves on opposite sides of the great room, and an empty forest green wingback chair sits before the rear wall, filled with looming, bizarre framed artworks. Beside the chair stands a black marble-topped side table with ancient runes deeply carved around its perimeter and realistic-looking claw feet. Upon the table rests a neatly arranged stack of the beautiful books. The lavish room is filled with plush couches, overstuffed large chairs, velvet-padded window seats, and countless floor cushions, and various animal skin rugs. Cozy blankets are draped everywhere. The dark woman you saw from a distance in the hallway has appeared in the room ahead of the group still filing in. She seems to have emerged from an unseen entrance among the polished shelves. She surveys the crowd with hypnotic eyes and nods her high chin to Mr. Darling, who knowingly touches the brim of his hat and strides away from his post. The wolf pups tussle around the legs of the green chair and pounce in turns at something behind it. The woman's fine expression captures the attention of all in the room, and she speaks. "Welcome to the Midnight Library, everyone. We're so pleased to have you in for a visit. Won't you please find a comfy spot here in the reading room and make yourself at home? I am your humble host, Miranda Merrick." Thank you. This guided tour of A Walk to the Midnight Library is brought to you by me, Miranda Merritt. If you would like to join in the fun in our strange old library to get in touch with our little demons and your fellow library guests, find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you can no longer live without merch from the Midnight Library, the Broom and Fang Pub, and the fabulous League of Lady Gravediggers, satisfy your dark desires at redbubble.com/people/midnight library. And I would love to hear from you personally. Yes, you. Hear weird extra content. Have your questions answered in our monthly Ask Me Almost Anything recordings. And help choose the topics of the upcoming season. Plus, get your grubby little hands on some spooky Midnight Library goodies that probably aren't hexed. Please join our Patreon. It's easy. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary, and I'll meet you there.